It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, then. We didn't check any levels, so who knows what we sound like? Who knows? You do. The listener knows what we sound like.
And the hat probably knows.
The hat always knows. Anyway, hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world with 12 hosts that just sounds like two. We have five different Tonys, six different Williams, and one tree stump that is both mute and inanimate, so has never said anything.
Counts as a William, though, I think.
Okay, eight Williams then.
Yeah.
And we just don't tell you which one is speaking at a time. And all the Tonys sound the same, and all the Williams sound the same. In voice. In content, they're very different. They all have vastly different views on things.
So right.
See if you can pinpoint them.
Yeah. It's like a game.
Yes. I'm Tony.
And I'm one of the Williams.
Yes.
And this is episode 147. First of the year.
Yes.
First of 2014.
This is our 2014 beginning.
And our first broadcast, I mean, we pre-recorded something for the day after Christmas, but we haven't recorded anything since Christmas. Really.
No, which reminds me, Sean, you're full of shit.
Who? What?
Sean, one of our listeners who's a coworker of mine. Just today, I was talking about things I got for Christmas, and I started to talk about something. He's like, yeah, I know, I heard it on the podcast last week, and I was like, oh, yeah. And it was only later, I was like, wait. What? No.
No.
That has not happened.
No, we have not
had... So you
had
are full of shit, mister, and I'm going to punch you in the face tomorrow.
The annual segment, which is Tony's post-holiday season download. We still have to have that. That's this episode right here.
Pretty much.
But,
So you
got to give the spiel about the website, then we can go into that.
Yes. Which, did you note I updated it?
No.
Just yesterday, I updated the about on the website.
On the website, yeah.
Which, you're right, was remarkably closer to what I say than I thought.
Oh.
But I updated it, and I made it look a little bit better, and it's a little more verbose. And then I copied and pasted it, and that's now what is in iTunes as well.
Oh.
I had a little scare with iTunes, where I thought it was not... It had stopped updating.
Oh.
And then I found out it was just my subscription to it had stopped updating. Oh. So we're good. Anyway, okay. For those of you just joining us, because this was your New Year's resolution... Holy shit, man. You've got to have better self-improvement.
Yeah, you got to raise the bar.
Your life, like, if this is the first step in improving yourself, I don't even know. Like, you must have not had ears, and now you had them, and even then.
Or you want them.
Yeah.
I doubt we help people grow
this
ears.
Is the start.
The opposite probably
That makes the best sense of any other reason to improve yourself listening. Anyway, if you're new to this, you won't hear this because you don't have ears. We have a hat, okay? The hat is magical. Specifically, it is magical in that it has its own email address. If that doesn't sound like magic to you, find me another hat that has its own email address. The hat, people email the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You should email them as well. The hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. They email them with questions, comments, topics for conversation, things like this. The hat checks that email all on its own and magically transmogrifies those questions and emails and things like that into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat. The two of us draw those out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. We do this for about an hour. That's the whole show.
Yep. I show up, he presses start, and we go. No editing, no rehearsing, no pre-screening of the questions. It's all right off the cuff, which as you listen and you sort of evaluate the quality of this podcast, you'll start to believe everything I said is true.
So, William, how was your...
No. We don't have time for that. It's our annual segment, the Tony Post-Holiday Download.
You wouldn't believe, though. The big thing I'm going to talk about has nothing to do with Christmas, so...
Well, that but it's part of it. Too. So we don't have time for anything. We don't have time for me. You go.
Whose house was it at? That's what we need to know. We need
it was just at my dad's house.
Your dad's house. Okay. Mm-hmm. How late did you find that out?
I don't know.
It's like you always knew, deep in your heart.
I don't know how late it was. It wasn't like the day before. Okay. It could have been, and that would have been fine, but it wasn't. So.
All right. So it was the day of, and it kind of was great.
Just go.
All right.
You've got a lot to talk about. We know that.
So, you may recall from Thanksgiving.
Oh, this is a part two.
Well, yeah, this is a callback, as it were. I had a little trouble with my back.
After Thanksgiving. Sure, I kind of recall that. Yeah.
Due in part to me missing workouts. Yeah. And in part to me sleeping on a guest bed for 4 days. That's not super conducive to my back. Well, I had that exact same experience, but this time for 6 nights.
Mm.
And it was already building on Thanksgiving because I hadn't really recovered from then. Mm. So my Christmas holiday was largely really painful.
Well, that's too bad.
And I basically survived because my mother-in-law hoards narcotics.
Did you really want to say that on the air?
She gets them legally. She actually... has
she gets them
like, she gets them legally. No, she had oh, that's true. This didn't happen. Anyway,
great.
This didn't happen, but it would have been useful.
This is what you wish
if somebody
happened.
Yes,
you
if somebody had lent me one a day a pill that I took like 2 hours before I got up. And then once I got, and then I could get up and I could sit in the couch long enough and I could actually stand it long enough for the muscles to relax. Because before we tried this, not that we tried this, but before we even considered trying it, which ultimately we didn't try, yeah, I just ended up on the floor for like half the day.
Hypothetically, since we're speaking hypothetically, yes. This didn't really happen. A person who finds themselves with a significant amount of said pills could probably make a pretty good living.
Yes, that's not what happened. No. No, once you're old, I think they kind of throw that shit out.
Oh, yeah, I see. So that's you what just it have is. It.
They're like, you hurt, okay.
What are you going to do? It's like, not really.
Oh, my God, you're going to develop a serious addiction for the remaining 5 years of your life. Whatever, you know? No, but if she developed a serious addiction to prescription painkillers, that's probably as long as she'd last. I wasn't even going there. Holy crap, I really hope none of the family listens to this anymore. I'm going to lose my dessert forever. Especially because the producer has plausible deniability, because I don't think they can hear her. Anyway, so it was very rough. And the problem is, coming back, it was still very rough. I thought, you know, sleeping in my own bed would be good. And I did that Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Friday, couldn't move.
Wow.
Had no stuff for that. So I ended up finally making it into work like noon.
Mm.
So it was a one-day work week for me, and I showed up 4.5 hours late. But did that. And then Friday night and Saturday, I went to the gym and did stuff, which hopefully helped. And it's still a process. Right now it's still bad. When I wake up, I'm at the point now where I'm showering the night before because I need all the time in the morning to sort of work on it. But it's getting better.
You feel bad right now?
Well, no, I'm in the end of the day. So this morning I felt bad, but now I'm doing okay. So that was fun. Whole family was there, so that was cool. The scary-looking baby I have on my desktop.
Okay.
She's adorable baby, but the picture I have of her, you've seen it. She has that demonic grin.
Oh, yeah, sure.
She's two now. And she was there. And she, being two, is freakishly good at jigsaw puzzles. And I think that's awesome. Because she's really good at them, especially for a two-year-old. So the whole family was there. That was fun. Loot that I got.
Yeah, loot. That's my what big, we hear about.
My big present was a portable 2 terabyte external hard drive.
Jeez.
I tried to make use of it yesterday. I can't get it to work yet. So that's not so good. But it's still an awesome present. I'm psyched about that.
Yeah, that is awesome.
I also got Red Dead Redemption, the Rockstar game, otherwise known as Grand Theft Horse.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The people who make Grand Theft Auto
made
a game called Grand Theft Horse. No, made a game called Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
That has frequently been described as essentially a Western version of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh.
But people, although I've never played the Grand Theft Auto games and don't really intend to, people have really praised the storytelling of Red Dead Redemption. I've always been very curious about it.
Okay.
So I've always wanted to play it, so now I got it. A friend of the family gave it to me, actually. She didn't know it was on my list, she just thought I should play it. So, got that. But I also got Legendary Edition of Skyrim.
Wow.
So, my 2014 is pretty much covered as far as video games are concerned. So, had a good time there, had some fun, got glad to be home where I could sleep in my own bed, that was nice. and there were fewer people around. I've only worked 3 days, well, 2.5 since Christmas. It was 6 days off there because I took a couple vacation days.
Mm-hmm.
Came back for one work day, then had a 2-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then went back for one work day, had a 2-day weekend because of New Year's. And then I've had one work day. I'll have a second work day tomorrow, and then I'll have a 2-day weekend. And then everything will suddenly go back to a normal 5-day work week. So that's going to shock the hell out of my system.
Yeah, especially if your back's not feeling very good.
Yes.
What about your movie night for New Year's? Did you ever watch that film beforehand, or did you just...
No,
what was the film again?
It was called The Room.
The Room.
I'll get to that.
Oh, you're going to get to that, sorry.
Believe me, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
But yeah, so we had New Year's.
New Year's, yeah.
So we got the gaming group together.
Mm-hmm.
We all got together about 1 in the afternoon and gamed for a few hours.
Mm.
It was not a super interesting game because it was the necessary game where the characters finally get situated and find out what the hell's going on, and I just throw a lot of exposition at them.
And they get clothes.
Yeah. And, well, no, they got clothes before. They got spacesuits.
Oh, spacesuits.
Because they had to travel outside what turned out to be the ruins of a city floating in space.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, they had clothes from that. But, yeah, no, they got clothes. And they found out, they got to know everybody's history because somebody read off the records, the dossier of each one of them, which was fun for the other characters. It was also fun for them because I wrote them. And I wrote them based off of the stuff they told me, but I also added in little twinges because we thought that would be cool.
Sure.
So that was fun for them. And then they got to find out that, yeah, they are in so far away from Earth that literally no one's able to identify where they are by the stars. So they're pretty confident they're at least in another galaxy. And that it has been, what is it, I believe, 1300 to 1700 years since each of them was frozen.
Wow.
Yes.
Another galaxy, even.
Yes.
Wow.
And these people have thawed them and said, now we want you to go do something. And so they're going to go do something.
Okay.
At first they were like, why should we? And they're like, you don't have to. We totally aren't going to make you, but what else have you got going on? Seriously. And they were like, good point. So they're going. But that went well. And then, after that, the producer and other friends came over. And we all started to play games.
Mm-hmm.
Played some cool games. We played a game that the producer had gotten for Christmas called Nanook. It is a game for 5 to 8 players, so it was good to have the chance here. Where you are a bunch of Eskimos hunters in a village, and you sit around bragging about how many animals you can get in how many days.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep outdoing the last person who bragged until somebody finally says, no, this hunt is doomed. It says in the rule books you have to say it that way. And then everybody decides whether they think it's doomed or whether or not they're going to go along. And everybody goes along, goes out hunting, and then if they catch as many as they're supposed to and don't get killed by Nanook, which is a giant scary polar bear, then they get to reap the benefits of the hunt. And if they die, or if they don't bring it back enough, then the doomsayers get to reap the benefits, which are cards, for it. And then at the end, they're worth points. But it was remarkably fun, because it really got into this weird boasting crap, where we're like, no, you can't do that. No. So it was surprisingly fun. Admittedly, at this point, a lot of drinking was going on. But it was still really, I think it's a good game. And some people played Red Dragon Inn. I didn't play that. Some people played...
What's Red Dragon Inn?
Red Dragon Inn, long ago, was a game somebody created for old computer bulletin board systems. I used to play on it. I remember chatting with the creator of it. It became such a thing. It became a real video game, and eventually now has become a card game that I didn't play, but apparently it is a fantasy-based game where you are some sort of fantasy-type character in a bar, or in the inn, and you are trying to be essentially the last person standing, and it's all drinking and gambling. Mm. And you're either trying to get people so drunk that they pass out, mm-hmm. or to gamble away all their money so they're broke and they get thrown out. Mm. And so either way, you will end up the last person there. It sounds like it was pretty fun. I don't know what was going on in the other room. We also played another game that we had played at Christmas that the producer got called King of Tokyo, where you play a stereotypical giant monster of some kind destroying Tokyo, and basically you're all there and you fight for who's going to survive, you know. It's pretty fun, too. I like that one.
Which monster were you?
I didn't play this time. The time I played before, I was the Cyber Bunny, of course.
Cyber Bunny.
Yes. A lot of them are not monsters you're familiar with, but they're almost monsters you're familiar with for, you know, copyright purposes. There's a giant monkey called the King. Mm-hmm. There's a giant lizard called Gigatower or Gigazor or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of just slightly off. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I had to play Cyber Bunny. And again, I sat out at this point and just sort of watched, but a bunch of people played Cards Against Humanity. You heard of this game?
No.
This game is very popular right now.
Never heard of it.
It's a very simple game. There are black cards and white cards. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a hand of white cards. Go around the table, people take turns, they draw a black card. Black card has some sort of question or something that has a blank to fill in. Mm-hmm. Everybody at the table picks the white card they think would best fill in that blank, and they pass it to the person face down, so they're all mixed up. Mm-hmm. The person reads them out loud and picks the one they want, and that person gets the person who gave them that white card mm-hmm. gets the black card, and the black cards are worth points. Mm-hmm. The trick about this is it's meant to be really...
They're horrible.
They're really vulgar, disgusting, terrible. The white cards have things like Oprah Winfrey weeping openly over a lean pocket, or two midgets shitting in a bucket, or the hardworking Mexican, or things like this, in answer to questions that really shouldn't be. One card had my vagina was the thing it was filling in the blank of and stuff. So it creates just really horrible, vulgar, but sometimes, in fact, frequently, really hilarious. It's like grown-up dirty Mad Libs. And if you got a big party together and people are drinking, it's the most hilarious thing in the world. But you feel really awful about yourself.
Okay.
But it's really hilarious. And I was drinking and was not playing, so after the card Panda Sex came up, I kept trying to insert that back into, like, every round. Mm. They would say the thing and I would go, Panda Sex! But anyway. And then we were on the New Year, and then we watched The Room. Mm-hmm.
The climax of all of this stuff, the story.
I don't know that everybody wanted to, because I told them.
Thanksgiving, Christmas,
as I told
New Year's,
you,
here we go.
This is a famously bad movie.
Right.
This is a phenomenon. This has become a movement over how bad it is.
But this is punctuating everything else you just said.
It is. And I had it there, and I kept holding up
yes.
stuff.
Yeah.
And I finally said, I'm watching it tonight. You guys don't have to. I can go home, and I'll watch it right now. But enough people wanted to, and so we sat down and watched it. Not everybody stayed, but... enough did, including the producer. And then we watched that movie. Hmm.
And
what?
Well, aren't you going to talk about it? I mean, that's the whole point, right? You're going to talk about it.
Why, yes, I will. Let me start by saying everyone in the world should watch this movie.
No one in the world should watch this movie.
The producer feels no one in the world should watch this movie. I feel everyone in the world should watch this movie. I knew what I had told you before going in. This movie was made by a mysterious crazy man from a foreign country because he had enough money to do it, though no one knows where he got it from, and that it was awe-inspiringly terrible. I knew all that.
Mm-hmm.
I was prepared for all that.
Mm-hmm.
I was not prepared for this movie. I have created a new phrase for this movie. Life-changingly bad. This movie might be my new religion. I watched this entire movie with my jaw hanging down. Literally, people kept telling me, close your mouth. This movie is... I can't stop thinking about this movie. And I'm going to watch it again. I'm probably going to watch it again and again until either I die from brain hemorrhage or ascend to a new level of consciousness. This movie is amazing. It is bad in a way you could never do on purpose. It is... Here's the deal. If any person associated with this film, which basically means Tommy Wiseau and any of the actors, because all the non-acting stuff, he did. He did, like, everything. But if any person had the slightest inkling while they were doing it of what they were making, then I consider this to be one of the greatest pieces of comedy of all time. However, I find it very unlikely that any of them did. And so what I consider this is one of the greatest crimes against humanity of all time. But the fact that you will never know means it's in this weird sort of Schrodinger's cat thing of, well, because you don't know, because you weren't there, and if you ask them, you don't know if they're telling the truth. So it's in this quantum flux where it is simultaneously the funniest and worst thing ever, and I don't...
It wasn't funny. It was terrible.
It was terrible in such an amazing way. Oh, everybody watching it, was so mad at me, and I was like, fuck you all. This is my gift to humanity.
They were mad at you?
For making them watch it, yes.
It was terrible.
It was that bad?
Yes.
Oh my, oh my god, yes! It was not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it was just worst. It's
not the worst movie you've ever seen?
Unfortunately, this explanation will not help William, but it's like watching really bad porn. Without the sex.
Except sometimes there were 4 sex scenes in this movie. The grand total of those only involved 3 different people.
Like, the caliber of the acting and the time spent on this plot is about the same.
Yes. Trish theorized that somebody took all the deleted scenes that didn't make it into a porno and tried to stitch them together into a movie. And I think it's entirely feasible, but I'm pretty sure that's not what happened. And it's amazing. There are many characters in this movie. I don't know why they existed. There are many lines in a single shot that are out of order, or at least I think are out of order, but it's not an editing thing because it's a single shot. They worked really hard on this. And it is so bad. It's unbelievable. And, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's just...
What's there to spoil? It doesn't sound like there's any plot at all.
No, dude. Somebody gets cancer in this movie.
Oh.
And it's the subject of one line in one scene, sort of as a throwaway with no real emphasis, and never comes up again.
Mm.
Early on. It's not like at the end. Like, early on. People ask other people questions, and they answer them, and then they ask them the question again that they just answered. People, there's inappropriate... It's all... I can't even... There are whole scenes that I don't know why are there. Everybody should see this movie. It's only 1 hour and 38 minutes. Trish fell asleep in the middle, and it did not affect her viewing of it at all. That's the amazing part. It's unbelievable. I'm totally going to watch it again, and soon.
Everybody should watch this movie, but that excludes me, right?
Even you.
No, you said everybody.
You will probably hate it. You will probably have no idea. You will probably...
Me.
Unless I specifically mention you, yes. I just said that. I'm not. No, you would probably hate it.
I'm not going to watch it.
That is the best way to describe it, is the phrase, I don't even.
And you don't finish.
Yes.
Okay.
It's amazing.
And that's the only movie you guys watch? Because I thought you usually watch all movies.
I saw Return to Neverland, which I had never seen, and which I found very disturbing, and I realized I think I'm just disturbed by the entire Peter Pan mythos. Return to Neverland was a while back. It's a long time ago now, but it was a long time after the original movie of Peter Pan. Disney made a sequel that involved Wendy's daughter going to Neverland.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
But it was a while. It was like 10, 15 years ago or something. But yeah, and I kind of decided, I think, just the whole Peter Pan mythos kind of freaked. The morality in it is really weird, and kind of everybody sucks in a way. I'm not comfortable with it. I saw part of all three of the Santa Claus movies.
Oh.
Claus with the E on the end.
Yeah.
Pretty cute, you know, for kid-friendly, family, heavily Christmas-themed movies, you can do worse.
I thought the first one was okay, but
I mean. And then I looked up some, I was really fascinated. His son, same actor in all three movies. Even though the second one was 8 years later, and the third one was 4 years after that, and the kid looks completely different, but it's the same kid.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, not too much else. I'm still playing Dragon Age 2. I've just broken into the third act, so I just went through a lot of dark and traumatic shit. And I'm getting a little tired. Spend a lot of time running around the city.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, let's get it out. And especially now I have new video games, you know, I want to play those.
Yeah. There's not much variety in terms of landscape in that game. That's a big complaint people had about.
And I've covered most of my stuff in it, but I do love it. So I think I told you this before. I slept with Isabella, but then that was just a fun thing. My relationship is with Meryl. The little elf girl. And I don't know if anybody in your house ended up in a relationship with her. But if you do, once it's done, like you've done all the stuff to make that the relationship, she moved in with me and everything. I had a quest to go visit Varric, my little dwarf friend at the bar, who's one of the other companions you play with. And it was purely for him to have a conversation, basically said, are you sure you want to be with her? Because she's basically 10 pounds of crazy in a 5-pound bag. To which I responded, at what point ever in our friendship did you ever think I wanted something sane and stable? To which he said, good point. And that was the end of that quest. I love that. They put in some really nice touches. The dialogue, the walking around dialogue in the first one is beyond compare, but they put in some really nice sort of relationship-y touches in this game that I enjoy. I really value my relationship with Varric, actually. I think it's really fun. There are total options to flirt with him, and I'm fairly certain it is literally impossible to have a romance with him. But there are very clear flirt options, and it's hilarious because we just joke with each other. Like, because his first love is his damn crossbow, and I pretend to get very jealous about that.
Yeah, his crossbow, what's...
Bianca. Because that's the joke. There was something that came in, and I was like, oh, you mean... I can't have you. And he's like, no, I'm spoken for. I'm like, oh, damn, Bianca. He's like, yep. Yeah, so it's pretty fun that way. I'm a little sorry I didn't sleep with Anders, and for one and only one reason. I do not particularly like Anders. I did not particularly want to sleep with him. But when you sleep with somebody, the game gives them a new outfit. And I'm really tired of his weird feathered shoulder pads. So I would have really liked that, but I opted not to.
The game gives them a new outfit.
They do. I didn't notice because Isabella's outfit is really the same, but Meryl is in this whole new dance that's really nice. Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah, so I've been playing that.
Is it over? Is the download over?
No, you know what else I got?
No, oh, we're not at 100% yet. Go.
I got sizzling bacon candy.
What?
Sizzling bacon candy.
What is that?
What it is?
That's what I'm asking.
Is bacon-flavored Pop Rocks.
Oh.
Here's the thing, though.
I almost guessed that, actually.
Here's the thing.
Tell me the thing.
You probably don't have a lot of bacon-flavored things.
Me?
You.
No. I've never really been a fan of... Even when I ate meat, I wasn't a huge fan of bacon.
And that's why I hate you. Bacon is awesome.
I mean, it was okay. I didn't have to have it on everything like lots of people.
Bacon is incredible. And consequently, yeah, bacon is everywhere right now, and people make a lot of bacon-flavored things. I've had some of these. Bacon-A's, some other bacon candy, stuff like this. Bacon vodka. In general, here's the thing.
Terrible.
They don't really taste like bacon. Even the Bacon-A's, it tasted like some of the curing spices you used didn't really taste like bacon. It's kind of disappointing.
Well, isn't that what they mean? It tastes smoky and...
Yeah, well, yeah, but they say it's bacon flavor, but that's what it ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
This bacon candy tasted like bacon.
Mm.
And here's the deal. It made it so much worse than if it hadn't.
Why?
The fact that those Pop Rocks somehow had a genuine bacon flavor to them, I can't explain it. It's just really disturbing. I had it once, not having it again.
Mm.
I'm mostly just foisting it off on
it
other people.
Fell in the uncanny valley of
a little bit, yes.
Flavors.
It was a bacon uncanny valley. Yeah, I think you actually may be dead on there. Yeah, so that was freaky. But I also got a posable Mr. Bacon and Monsieur Tofu set. They're little posable rubber with wireframe figures that fight each other.
Oh.
And apparently all over the web people have made like comics of them fighting and stuff. Yeah, so got those too. I got the DVD of, actually the Blu-ray of Seven Psychopaths, which is the... I keep wanting to say the sequel to In Bruges. It's not the sequel to In Bruges. It's another movie made by the guy who did In Bruges, also starring Colin Farrell. And I consider it sort of the American version of In Bruges, and I like it a lot. So I was happy to get that.
I feel like I'm watching the bar. Is it 90%? 97%? Is it going to be at 100%?
File corrupted.
Download over.
File corrupted.
Download not successful, it's not, apparently.
Yes, no.
Wow. We got to 97%, and then it failed on us.
Eddie, who thinks my mouth smells interesting for some reason. What's up, Cutie Boots Jr.? Ezzy has more nicknames than anything ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ezzy's Ezzy, Esmeralda, Ezimus, Ezzy Mouse, Ezzy Butt, Munch, Little Bit, Snack, Cutie Boots Jr., Apprentice Kitten, Bitch Kitty. I had a new one the other day. I don't remember now what it was. She has a lot of nicknames. Twiglet. Mm-hmm. Twiglet basically has Twiglet, Twignet, Kitten, and Honkasaurus, which is a long story, major controversy between myself and the producer.
Okay.
Did you get anything cool for Christmas?
What? No, we don't exchange gifts.
Nothing?
No, not really.
Not even amongst your siblings and things?
No. No.
Did you give the kid anything interesting?
I don't remember.
Wow.
Probably.
From the heart.
No, yes, it was a mobile device of some kind. Like, you know, it's just...
Kids with their text faces and pseudopads and...
Something like that.
Monkey books and...
That and some stuff to go with it. It was something like that.
Ancillary devices.
I mean, at the time I knew when we got
Bluetooth
it, what it was.
Bluetooths and wave nuts and...
But, you know, as soon as it was ordered and I knew it was going to be the thing she wanted, I forgot all about it. I can't keep track of all that stuff. I can't keep track of how many podcasts we've done.
iPhone Kindling something.
Stuff like that. She liked it, and she's using it, so it's great.
Sousaphone 5S. I'm
trying to think if there's anything else. I don't remember.
Melodiphone. HDX.
A couple pieces of jewelry and stuff, I think.
Eh.
Stuff like that. So, yeah.
The producer got a really lovely bracelet from my parents.
Oh, that's nice.
That actually, she had noticed. When we were out there in May, she noticed it. And my mom secretly got it at the time. Hi!
Sneaky.
Hi. Did we not have no polenta for polenta?
No, apparently I used it all last time we had polenta. Oh. I didn't recall that.
the producer's making polenta for dinner, and we're missing a key ingredient known as polenta.
We have water, go figure. But,
yes, we did have water. Wait, did you double check that we have water before you went?
I boiled the water.
Oh, jeez. All right, then. So do you have, this 2 weeks. Do you have anything interesting to report?
Well, I mean, let's see. Recorded some of the characters
more
for the
grape shot.
No. For Briar Rose.
I really got to do that.
Recorded Mark McKibben's parts. He's got two parts, and we
the
recorded
the Fox Prince,
the Fox, and one of the guards. And recorded
So you've recorded Mark's. You can answer this for me.
Okay.
What does the fox say?
Funny. And we recorded. We recorded Briar Rose.
Oh, you got all of Briar Rose done
this morning or this afternoon?
All of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
We might have to pick up some down the road. But you know, she's going to go off to college, so it might be hard. You know, later. I realize that's 8 months away, but this is a slow project. Yeah. You know, so we don't know. We watched a lot of Godzilla.
Godzilla movies?
Yeah. The very original one.
Where little, 6-year-old children get led into military installations to tell the soldiers how to beat it?
No.
Come on, there's always one kid named Kenny who's just there, and anyway, he's like, Godzilla just wants to be friends.
We saw the original one, you know, not the Americanized one with Raymond Burr, but the one that they cut up and edited.
Gojira itself?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really good. It's actually very, very good. I mean, people make fun of the special effects and stuff, but I mean, on the rubber suit and everything, but that was a design choice that they executed very well.
Yeah, they were very anti-CG back then.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that they shot it in a sensible way. Like, they knew, okay, this rubber suit isn't the greatest thing in the world, and these miniatures aren't the greatest thing in the world, but if we shoot it just right, and they did, and it worked really well. It easily matched any other film of that era trying to do special effects.
Like that story episode was really good. Season 2 of Arrested Development.
But the ones afterwards, it's obvious that there's some commercial pressure to have a little more action.
Yeah,
And that means that they have to make the shots linger on the miniatures and the suit longer.
So that kind of ruins the
effect. That said, a lot of the ones right after the first one are still really good story-wise, and the acting's good, and you can appreciate what they're trying to accomplish with the special effects. And some of them get pretty funny. I mean, not just funny like, oh, this movie's stupid funny, but actually funny.
Yeah.
They don't take themselves too seriously. We didn't watch very many, though.
What prompted this?
I don't know.
Hmm.
But we really liked the first one, so we kept watching it. And I think my goddaughter's going to want to watch, all of them. There's, 28.
Dang.
Godzilla movies going. There's a few gaps of, 7 years here and 10 years there, but almost continuously since 1956 they've been making these movies.
They've also got a couple of animated series.
Yeah, and also there
including one from the 70s. That's hilarious.
There are some films outside of the Godzilla, Mothra has its own.
And Gamera.
And Rodan has its own,
yeah.
Which we watched, that one. Because we were going to watch Godzilla versus Mothra, which features Mothra and Rodan. So we watched the Rodan.
And tiny, tiny people.
Yeah. And they were pretty good. They were pretty good. And it made me think, too, that, a lot of Japanese films and, you know, animation, of course, there's a lot of recognizable themes, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, but there's a big jump between ones made before World War II and after.
No, that's right. Although there's an interesting continuity and consistency, though.
Well, you can follow along.
Yeah.
If you're looking at it as an arc, yeah.
Right. So Godzilla is, it very specifically and explicitly. I mean, the interaction of the characters make this very clear that Godzilla is a metaphor for the bomb.
Yes.
He's got these powers that come from being radiated and stuff, and it's interesting to see. The films themselves sort of evolve as as you can presume, the Japanese culture itself is dealing with the implications and the ramifications and the implications of this thing. So when there's going to be a new Godzilla this year,
yes.
And I saw what the director was saying about it, talking about how, well, you know, this Godzilla, we're gonna move away from the whole nuclear thing, and it's going to be more of a force of nature. It's going to be, Godzilla is going to symbolize nature striking back after we did so many terrible things to the Earth and whatever.
Mm.
And I thought, and I could see that people were upset about this, and I only understood that a little bit at first, because I know that there are a lot of people like, well, Mark, Hard Hat Number One, he's a big fan of Japanese media art and culture.
Yes.
And I hadn't heard what he thought about it, but I presumed that he would be among those people who thought this was a bad idea. So I understood it, but I didn't have a position on it myself. And now after watching a few Godzilla movies, I'm almost totally offended by what they're going to do.
But to me, that's just the argument of why they shouldn't be making it. Because no. I don't think you can make a fear of nuclear fallout at this point.
No.
Because that's not the thing.
Here's the thing.
In the same way that you can't make a movie about the terrors of communism anymore. Like, Arthur Miller couldn't put a play together now.
Well, okay, but this is what I think about all of this. Is, for one thing, Godzilla, and really the whole big monster thing. I mean, a lot of people want to say, oh, well, they borrowed that idea. King Kong was before that, mm. and the creature from 20,000 Fathoms was before that. But what Japan was doing was completely different, and it was continuous with some of their own myths and legends and the kami and the giant, whatever.
Yeah.
So there's really, I don't really see much continuity between what a couple films were doing in the West and what Japanese.
No, and you also can't say, yeah, they stole the trend of making things large.
Yeah. So, I mean, for one thing, those previous films were all sort of Lost World type things, and this is a little bit different.
Very much, yeah.
But Godzilla belongs to Japan and Japanese culture, and to say, well, we're going to make a Godzilla movie and we're going to turn it into the world's Godzilla and change it significantly to make that work. I mean, that's the classic example of, you know, white co-opting something that belongs to another culture.
And they did it already, and it was shitty.
Yeah, right. But what I think is that, to me, that's just lazy storytelling. I mean, you were saying you can't really make a character like that because of, you know, people are different now. But I think for the Japanese here, you know, 50 some years or, you know, more than that, obviously later, I think it's still a real thing. And I think
well, it literally is.
Well, with Fukushima and everything, but I think what you could do there, or what would be better to do, and what would be as effective and would not be lazy, would be to tell the story through the eyes of the Japanese people.
Yeah.
And let people who aren't Japanese learn to relate to that.
I'm willing to make the argument that the Japanese could make a decent Godzilla movie. But here's the thing. He can totally make the movie he's talking about. It's not have anything to do with goddamn Godzilla.
Well, and we've talked about this with other stories too. Oh my gosh. Well, you know what that was?
Cloverfield has a lot of other issues. But
I saw this article that where J.J. Abrams apparently said that he was inspired to make Cloverfield because he went to Japan and he saw these Godzilla toys.
Oh, well, then fuck that guy.
And he said he thought, well, you know, America should have a monster like that. Not King Kong. King Kong's too adorable. We want to make our own. And I'm thinking, really? Cloverfield is what you came up with and your goal was to make a cultural phenomenon that would create little toys that kids would buy in stores. You must be an idiot.
Yeah.
But, you know, either you leave Godzilla alone, because, you know, I was telling the household that it's kind of like
do,
this.
Do it like Chris Crocker.
No.
Leave
no.
Godzilla alone.
No, it's like this. If, so say a white person, such as myself, was listening to rap music and saw how interesting it was and how powerful it was especially for African-American urban people in the United States. But it just doesn't reach everybody. And I want everybody to understand the power and the you know, how profound rap music is. So I'm going to make a movie, and it's going to have rap music in it, but I'm going to put the origin somewhere else so that other people who aren't black urban people can relate to it. Now, if that sounds racist, which
I'm also pretty sure it's been done.
It's probably been done.
I think that movie has been made.
Yeah, it probably has been. To me, making a film with Godzilla in it that has nothing to do with, or very little to do with, Japanese people or with the bomb is the same thing. Because this is...
Godzilla is part of their racial identity.
Well, it's part of their ethnic identity, I think. It's part of their ethnic culture in a way that's so deep and intertwined that to take it and turn it into something else is classic co-op.
Basically,
co-opting
the Japanese
culture.
Are really fucked up at this point. And to take that one last thing away from them, you leave them with nothing, damn it. All you leave them with after that is little tiny hotels. It's not fair.
It just really bothers me. Now, I'm not saying it can't be done. In fact, I was...
Well, the good news is the movie will be shit, and it'll go away.
I would love to see some of the films we watched updated with better effects and stuff, but they still need to be, I think, they need to be set in Japan. In fact, a lot of them probably should be period pieces, even set in 1950s or 1960s when they were made.
Yeah.
But you could still make them in a way that not only would, you know, hopefully the Japanese audiences would enjoy them, but other people watching it would enjoy them, not just for the spectacle of what they are, but for the insight it gives them into the experience of the Japanese people as the only culture on Earth that has had an atomic bomb dropped on it. You know, that's profound. That's something that resonates with a lot of people in Japan, I'm sure, to this day.
Mm.
But,
and most importantly, remember, Gamera is a friend to all children. All right, we got very little time left. Do you want to try an actual...
Well, I didn't need to talk about any of that, but you asked.
You never need to talk about the stuff that you talk about.
Well, we didn't have to. We could just go to the house. Maybe I should have said, well, let's go to that.
No, I would have been pissed off.
Okay. Hey, hard hat,
now, too. No,
hard hat number one, Mark McKibben.
Hard hat number one!
Who's been mentioned several times in this podcast already. This is...
All in a negative light, but still.
This is just to you.
All right, then. I'm ready.
Tony!
Yes?
Do you?
Yes.
Or the producer?
Or?
Use any
well,
add-on?
It's not really just to me.
Well, but no, it is to you. See, Tony. Do you or the producer use any add-ons for Cookie Clicker? Oh, this has been digested a little bit, too, I guess.
No. Trish?
Yes?
Did you ever use any Cookie Clicker add-ons?
Yes.
Which ones?
I don't remember what it's called.
Yes. Oh.
That I could get.
Yes, she used one that showed her the optimal investment that she could get. I never used any. Weirdly, just a couple days ago, I actually went back to Cookie Clicker just for the hell of it. I, like, clicked on it, as it were. And they've got all sorts of weird shit now where you can buy, like, a little Santa egg and you grow it up into larger versions of Santa. And they're always adding stuff. It's still a relatively new thing they're adding, but it was just weird to see. And then I got out of there pretty fast. So, no. And yes, but can't remember.
Your beard's getting a little gray, isn't it?
Oh, it's been a little gray for a while. It's getting a little long right now. I need to chop it up a little.
It's the long, it's the length.
Here is one from Craig.
Craig?
You know Craig. Hello, Craig. Dear William and Tony.
Oh,
so you're back in the game.
I'm back in the game.
Do you realize how relaxing it is listening to you chat each week? It probably is.
Do we realize it? What does that mean?
Are we aware?
That it's relaxing to other people?
Apparently, yes.
Oh! Well... I didn't know that.
I don't know that I thought of it before, but it makes sense.
It does?
I'll tell you what. Yes. Here's the thing.
All right.
We, the stuff that we talk about here,
yeah,
and the things that we say, really doesn't matter.
That's true.
And unlike many other podcasts out there, we know this.
Okay.
And so we really are just sort of... background conversation. We're podcast mashed potatoes, you know? It doesn't matter. It's nice. little comforting. There's not really much to it. Anybody could make it. But sometimes it's just what you want. It's just, it's comforting, you know?
Okay.
Relaxes you. It's not much of anything. Like, it's not particularly informative. It's not particularly funny. It's not particularly insightful. But it's a little bit of those things. A little bit, a little dash. In a sort of gruel that is time, I guess. A thin gruel of time.
If you say so, I...
Not the spice, actual time passing.
I'd be curious to know if other listeners find it relaxing. Well, and that's Craig does, obviously. But
he didn't say enjoyable.
He said, well, okay.
See, that's the thing. I if he said, you realize how fun it is? No. Fuck you, Craig. You're a liar. And a terrible liar at that. Oh, speaking of Craig, I learned something today.
What'd you learn?
In Scotland, which is hypothetically known for excessive drinking, they typically get both the 1st and the 2nd of January off to recover. I learned that from a Scottish employee that's near me.
So...
Anyway, yeah, if you'd said enjoyable, I would have been like, no, you're a fucking liar. But relaxing, I can get that.
But what if other listeners want to say it's relaxing? What do they do?
Other listeners want to say it's relaxing. Go out onto your front step and yell into the night sky, it's relaxing. And the authorities will be there shortly. Alternatively,
the other thing you could try.
Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and type about it there. Type about whatever particular gerund is produced from your listening.
Do you think...
Relaxing... Crying,
that
vomiting.
Craig falls asleep while he's listening? Is that...
Possibly.
What he means?
Mm. Possibly.
I suppose that's good. I mean, and sleep is good.
I'm feeling tired and I can't sleep. I listen to this podcast instead of sheep. I fall asleep listening to the podcast.
Well, I know we... almost fall asleep making it.
Yes, that has happened.
Yep.
So
you really have to help each other stay awake.
So I'm watching the Pete Holmes show that he has after Conan now, and a while back he had an episode with Tig Notaro on there, which I really liked. And then frequently he does some little jokey bit, like at the very end, he'll have some sketch or something like that. And he did one where he had Tig come out. You know how shows like that have warm up comedians?
Sure.
She was the first ever cool down comedian. And she came out to get that, and they were like, they would chuckle. She's like, shh, we're all gonna leave in orderly fashion. Quietly. I want you to go home. If you had other plans, skip them. Go home. Go to bed. Stay calm. Don't let. Shh. No.
Cool down comedian.
We're doing this exactly the wrong way here. You need to be calm.
That's good.
I like that.
Clever.
It was nice. And she was really good for it, too. That's her kind of bit that she could run with really well.
I guess we're a whole hour of cool-down comedians.
Basically, yeah. Whatever level you start at, we'll bring you down.
Yeah.
Which, I feel like then we need some sort of warning. Those who are, like, seriously depressed, I mean...
Probably, for public health, you're probably right.
That should be our new opening. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat. It only gets worse from here.
Yeah. If you're on any kind of medication, you might not want to listen.
We hope you've had a good day, because now...
It's going to get
bad. Yeah. So, by the way, that reminds me of something.
Okay.
My father-in-law...
Yes?
...has some diabetes. Like,
yeah,
I do.
Right.
Like his wife does. Finally, I hasn't been real good at monitoring his levels and things. And he was talking to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, I think there's going to be a thing. Because he's on as much meds as he can, next step's insulin. And he says, so I don't think that's going to work. And I said, why? Because you're figuring you'll die before then? And he said, no, because I probably won't do it.
Mm.
And I said, so you're just going to let bits start falling off? And he says, no, I'll just have some high test numbers for a while. And so I told him, as much as I knew, about the details of what happened with your mother.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was a little disturbed by this, because I know something of his numbers. And there was a long pause, and then he said, I think maybe people need to tell me more stuff like that, because I don't think that doesn't generally sink in with me that that's a thing. And I said, I understand that. It is very abstracted when we're talking about these numbers, but you have to understand the seriousness of this. And your mom and him and all, this is the first generation that is dealing with it in such numbers that they're really starting to pay attention and figure out ways to deal with it and what it means and stuff like that. So they really got to do
that.
I was very pleased because I've kind of known about this with him for a while, but he and I have never talked about it. Mm. And it was a little bit, there was a little bit of a knee-jerk quality to it myself to be telling him that, but I was pleased that it turned out to really make him think about it.
Yeah. Hopefully it leads to a change in behavior, because I'm sure he'd like to be around as long as possible.
Yeah.
And it's no way to go. I mean,
no,
it's a terrible way to go. And it's
rough
terrible,
and it's not fast. And,
no. Yeah. And it's not something you want to put your family through and everything else. So.
Yeah. And you, I mean, I like to think I didn't need it, but see, we didn't really get this on here, but when I talked about it the first time, William sent me a very long email that is the closest William gets to chewing somebody out.
Well, I was concerned.
You were, and I was very touched by that. And like I said, I like to think I didn't need it, but it was welcome, and it certainly is something I think back on. You know, it's a touchstone for me when I'm dealing with this stuff. But I'm pleased to say so far I've done pretty well with it. Specifically, I mean, I consider this a gateway to a lot of lifestyle change, some of which I'm struggling with.
Right.
But specifically speaking in terms of managing my diabetes, I've done pretty well since I got it.
Yeah, you have.
So I'm pretty pleased about that.
Yep. But,
and I feel weird about bringing this up now, because it's a very serious subject, and I totally brought it up because we were on the topic of bringing people down. So I guess
they weren't low enough.
I guess
we had to.
This shows the lengths I will go for comedy. I brought up dead and dying family members, like for serious.
Yeah, good job.
Just to punch the joke, basically. To, ching, you know.
Good job.
I need a little rim shot at the end. That's how it works, folks. Well, yep. Odds are, you know, a not insignificant percentage of our listeners have diabetes these days.
That's
so
too bad.
This should be a lesson to everybody. There is a genetic predisposition, which I think is lucky, because I think if not for that, like 90% of Americans would get it. But
yeah, maybe so.
Because I see people who have the exact same lifestyle as me, or worse, and I'm like, how do you not have it?
Yeah.
You and your fucking genes.
Yeah.
But it does seem everywhere nowadays. As soon as I got it, I found out tons of people have
right,
it. It's
right.
Just unlike me, they keep their mouth shut. So that should be a lesson to you all. Take care of yourself. And if you're not taking care of yourself, stop it. I mean, stop not taking care of
yeah.
Take care of yourself.
Right.
And each other.
That's what he meant.
So that I can continue to berate you for years to come.
Yeah.
That's what I do. It's like, I remember that from an old Strong Bad email. It's like, till next time, send me an email and I'll make fun of you. That's pretty much the plan, people. Write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, so I can make fun of you.
Forever.
That's our symbiosis here, people. You complete me. You had me at Dear the Magical Talking Cat. You know, I've never seen Jerry Maguire.
Really? You've never seen it?
No. Nope.
I think I did see it, but I don't remember. I mean, I know what that is. I know what that's making reference
yeah,
to.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I know.
Show me the money. That's
show me
part
the
of
money.
It. Yeah.
Show me the money. You
yeah, I think I saw the whole thing.
You had me at Hello. The human head weighs 8 pounds. I believe it's another. That's a fact that the kid spouts off. That's kind of disturbing.
I don't remember that, but.
You know, I have seen The Room.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone in the world should see The Room.
It's not going to happen.
No one should see it.
Not going to happen.
The thing is, we're both right, she and I. Seriously, it lives in this weird quantum state.
I know, that's what you're saying.
It's amazing. Anyway, we should go. We'll be back next week.
Yes, we will.
With, I don't really know, honestly. We'll be back. The point is, it'll be relaxing.
Yeah.
And kind of depressing. But honestly, I don't know how it'll be for you guys.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.